became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become his righteousness. He humbled himself and carried the cross. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Jesus the Messiah. Name above all. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Blood, the wine broken and poured out, all for love. The whole earth trembled and the veil was torn. Love so amazing. Love so amazing. Yeah, Jesus Messiah. Name above all names, blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah. Blessed Redeemer, Emmanuel, the rescue for sinners, the ransom from heaven, Jesus Messiah, Lord of all. Jesus Messiah, Lord of all.
Amen, and good morning, Grace Bible Fellowship. It's good to see all of you here today. I've had a great time just walking around talking to all you guys, and happy Easter. Amen. Somebody was saying, dude, why are you in the jeans and the work boots today? And it's because I thought I was going to be moving chairs and moving sound equipment and all that stuff to the parking back. But, you know, we do this every year, and you're always rolling the dice a little bit with the rain, right? I think one time we did snow in April. And so you're always rolling the dice a little bit. And we ended up being here. We thought it was a little bit better off to be here this morning. So I want to welcome each of you here today. Tell you that I'm super excited that you're here to celebrate and worship the Lord and his resurrection with us today. It's going to be such a blessing and such a fun time together. If you are a guest, there's a place in the bulletin that says, welcome to Grace Bible Fellowship. If you'll just take a moment, you can fill that out and then tear it off and put it in the little wood offering box by the double doors that you probably came through this morning. and that lets us know who was here worshiping the Lord with us today. All right, remember, if you're standing and you don't have a place, looks like everybody's seated. There's 40 seats over there in that other wing over there if you need it, okay? But let's do something now. We've all had good food and time to visit, so let's turn our minds and our hearts to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I submit to you this Easter that if you will get focused on Him and take whatever you have going on in your life and for 1 hour lay it at His feet, for 1 hour let Him be God of your life. And if you'll do that and you'll make this service about Him and not about you, you'll be blessed more than you could ever dream or imagine. So let's go to Him in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we come to You today, and we thank You and we praise You for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is because of Him, and only because of Him, that we're here today, that we can worship You and have a relationship with You today. And so we praise You and we thank You. And we thank You, for what He did at the cross for each of us. We thank You for Your grace. That in Christ there's always more grace than there is sin. And so we thank You and we praise You for that today. Today, Lord, as we get focused on You, we ask that You take our minds and our hearts, and just that we take anything else that's going on right now, anything else that we're concerned about, worried about, any of those kinds of things, and we just lay them all at Your feet. And we just spend 1 hour loving You. That we could just spend 1 hour this morning worshiping You for the amazing, loving God that You are. And Father, we pray that as we continue singing in a moment, we won't just sing songs, but we will actually sing from our hearts, because that's true worship. That's worship that honors You. That's worship that lifts You up and brings You glory. And so that's what we want to do here today, Lord Jesus. We want to thank You, we want to celebrate You, and we want to bring You glory, and we pray all these things in Your precious name. Amen.
The Father's love for us, how vast beyond measure, that He should give His only Son to make a wretch His treasure. How great the pain of searing loss, the Father turns His face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon a cross, my sin upon His shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held Him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in any. No power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I can't. Christ have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart. His wounds have paid my ransom.
Jesus Christ, my living hope. And alleluia, praise the one who set me free. Alleluia, death has lost its grip on me. You have broken every chain. There's salvation in your name, Jesus Christ, my living. The promise, your buried body began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declares the grave has no claim on me. And then came the morning that sealed the promise. Everybody began to breathe. Out of the silence, the roaring lion declares the grave has no claim on me.
daylight dawns in Galilee. Some say madman, some say king. Wonder-working rebel priest. Jesus Christ the Nazarene. He knew well what it would take to free us all from sin and grave. A perfect man would have to die, and only he could pay that price. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. Don't lose hope 'cause Sunday's coming. Devil, you're done, better start running. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. So he let those soldiers take him in as his friend betrayed him with a kiss. And there before the mocking crowd, like a lamb to the slaughter, didn't make a sound. Then he carried that cross to Calvary, shed his blood to set us free. As the nails went in and the sky went dark, the redemption of the world was dark. Friday's good 'cause Sunday's coming. Don't lose hope 'cause Sunday's coming. Devil, you start running. Friday is good 'cause Sunday's coming. Then he breathed his last and bowed his head. The Son of God and man was dead. With bloody hands, tears on their face, they laid him down inside that grave. But that wasn't the end. That wasn't the end. That wasn't the end. Let me tell you what happened next. The women came before the dawn to find that stone already gone. When they looked inside, the angel said, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He's alive, he's alive, hallelujah, he's alive. Give him praise, lift him high, hallelujah, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, hallelujah, he's alive. Give him praise, lift him high, hallelujah, he's alive. Now Jesus reigns upon the throne. All heaven sings to him alone. We watch and wait like a bride for a groom. O church, arise, he's coming soon.
Father, we thank you that we can celebrate today. Friday's a sad day. We think about the price that you paid for us, the torture that you went through, the blood that was shed, and how you carried that cross, knowing that 10,000 angels would have come and ministered to you and taken it all away in a moment. You suffered. You drank the cup that God the Father had for you. We thank you for that, and we praise you that we can celebrate that 3 days later, you weren't on the cross, you weren't inside of a tomb, you were alive, and you were out, and your people saw you face to face. We are the only ones who serve the living God. So, Father, on this Easter Sunday, as Chris comes and brings us the word, I pray that you will give us ears to hear. Let us enjoy this time in your word and in your presence. And God, I pray that you will break the heart that's in this room that does not know you as Lord and Savior. That today would be the day that they understand who you are and what you've done for us. Not because you had to, but because of your great love for us. So we thank you for this day, Father. We thank you that all things work out. Whether it's here, the park, your gospel will be told today, Father. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matt and Kessie. If you're a guest with us here today, well, let me say this. If you're not a guest, if you're here with us all the time, you know that one of the things that I do is before I get up to preach is I sit down on the front row and I just listen to y'all worship the Lord. And it prepares my heart to get up here and share the word, man. And so there's just something special about being able to sit right there and hear all these people worshiping God behind you. And it's just an amazing, amazing thing to be part of and a privilege that I have. And if you're not normal, if you're not regular here with us, I shouldn't have said normal really, but if you're, sorry. It's not that I bet anybody that's not normal. I need to just move on, don't I? If you're not regular here with us today, many of you get to come here and be here with us and worship the Lord with us. And so just know that I love you and I'm excited to see every one of you as we worship our Lord and Savior today together. We're going to be all over the place, and so in your notes are pretty much, I think, probably most of the scriptures that we're going to look at today. And I've entitled this, The Victory of Christ's Resurrection. And I'm going to start with a quote from Max Lucado. He has a special way of doing things, saying things, and we've kind of studied his study on it. He writes this. Listen to this. This is really cool. What hinged on the final week of Jesus' life was no less than the door of eternity. But the finality of the crucifixion on Friday would be overturned by Christ's resurrection on Sunday. Amen? So listen to what Jesus explains to his disciples concerning what awaits him as they leave Jericho and they follow him to Jerusalem. Now think about this with me for a second. Don't let that just go over your head too fast. They are following Jesus. Jesus is leading the way to his death sentence in Jerusalem. And all the apostles are following him, okay? Matthew chapter 20 in your notes. As Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves. I love that. I love the fact that he took them aside by themselves. It shows how special they are to him. It shows how much he loves them. Amen? So he took them aside by themselves, and on the way he said to them, "Behold, we are going to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man..." By the way, the Son of Man, that was his number one favorite title for himself. It talks about his humanity. And I think the New Testament uses the phrase Son of Man 82 times, if I remember right. And he says to them, "And the Son of Man will be delivered to the chief priests and the scribes, and they will condemn him to death. And they will hand him over to the Gentiles to mock and scourge and crucify him, and on the third day, he will be raised up." Now, we've all come here today to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But this morning, I want you to walk away knowing and understanding that victory that is yours in this life and in the life to come because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's what we're going to talk about today. You see, the resurrection is the most amazing event that's ever taken place on planet Earth. Think about this with me for a moment. There have been many different religious leaders, right? There's been many different religious teachers. There's been many different philosophers throughout history, and many of them have created different worldviews, their own worldviews, that have actually attracted some pretty good-sized followings at some point. But all of these religious leaders have one major distinction between themselves and Jesus Christ. Some have claimed to represent God, some have claimed to be God, but all of them are dead and gone. Only Jesus walked out of the tomb on the third day. And not only did Jesus do it, but he called it. He told them it was going to happen. Look at Mark chapter 8 in your notes. Jesus went out along with his disciples, and he continued by questioning them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered and said to him, "You are the Christ," meaning you are the Savior. And he began to teach them, "I must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed. And after 3 days, I will rise again." And among all the religious leaders and philosophers who's ever lived, only Jesus Christ is alive and well today after rising from the dead. And the Bible says that right now he is reigning in heaven, interceding for you and I at the right hand of God. Amen? Psalm 110 and Philippians 2, 8 through 11. And that's what separates Jesus Christ from all the other great teachers, the great religious leaders, and the philosophers of this world. They all returned to the ground while Jesus returned to heaven. Amen? None of these other religious leaders, listen to this, even dared to claim that they would rise again. None of them even dared to claim that they would rise from the dead. But Jesus said, "After 3 days, I will rise again." And sure enough, Christ walked out of the grave on the third day, on that first Easter Sunday. He walked out of the grave. He rolled a stone away that weighed close to 1,000 pounds and walked right through a detail of guards assigned to guard his tomb, and he proved once and for all that he was God. And that's why millions of people all over the world are celebrating Easter today just like we are. In fact, don't miss this, what I'm about to tell you. This is super important to understand. Jesus could not have been just a good teacher. He could not have been just a great leader, as many people claim, because he never left us that option. You see, he claimed to be God. So he was either God, he was either who he claimed to be, God in the flesh, or he's the biggest liar and lunatic that ever lived. He never left us the option when you really think about it, because he said, "God, the Father and I are one." But what I want you to see this Easter Sunday, what I really want you to see, is how the resurrection can transform your life. And that leads us to point number one, if you're taking notes this morning. The resurrection guarantees your salvation from sin and death. The resurrection guarantees your salvation from sin and death. The Bible says, "For all have sinned," right? How many of us does that include? All right, you guys have had your coffee this morning, amen? "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," meaning that we all fall short of God's glorious standard of perfection and righteousness because we're sinners. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." In other words, because God is a holy God, he cannot and will not permit sin in his presence. And since man is a sinner, there's now this hostility that separates God from man. And the a price must be paid for sin, and that price is death. Sin must die for you to enter into the presence of Almighty God, of a holy and righteous God. And the Bible says that Christ paid for our sins on the cross. He took all of our sins upon himself and died on the cross so that you and I could be forgiven and have eternal life. So all of our sins could be wiped out, washed away for eternity, and we could have eternal life if we believe in God's Son, Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ, the Bible says, redeemed us. That means he paid the price for our sin, and he reconciled us to God. That means he justified us so that we could return into an intimate love relationship with God. And he did it all with his blood on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. Look at Romans 3, 24 through 25 in your notes. We being justified as a gift by his grace. Now, let me just stop and point something out. You and I are justified as a gift. We don't deserve it, and we can't earn it. It's a free gift, the Bible says, by God's grace. In other words, that means God did something for you that you could never do for yourself. Okay? That's what the word grace means. God did something for you and I that we could never do for ourselves. So being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed publicly as a propitiation, meaning, again, the reconciliation of God and man, in his blood through faith. And Paul said in Romans 4:25 that Jesus was delivered to the cross for our sins, and he was raised because of our justification. So when Jesus cried out on the cross, "It is finished," John chapter 9:30, he was declaring that the price had been paid in full, guaranteeing salvation for all who would believe in him, for all who would put their faith in him. And death, listen to this, was unable to conquer Christ because he was God. And death was also unable to conquer Christ because he had broken the power of sin. Now listen to me closely. Sin is the power that keeps a person from eternal life and holds them in death. That's what the Bible teaches. Sin's the power that keeps a person from eternal life and holds them in death. But when sin has lost its hold on a person because that person has trusted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, then that person now has victory over sin and death through the Lord Jesus Christ. Point number two. Number one, the resurrection guarantees your salvation from sin and death. Number two, the resurrection gives you eternal hope and a purpose to live for. The resurrection gives you eternal hope and a purpose to live for. In fact, the Bible refers to this hope, listen to this, as a living hope, 1 Peter 1:3, as a better hope, Hebrews 7:19, and as a secure hope, Hebrews 6:19. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:3 in your notes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." You see, it was after the resurrection that everything turned around for the disciples. Before the resurrection, they were a bunch of scared rabbits. But when they realized that Jesus had risen, they were transformed into some of the most fearless dudes on the planet. You remember Peter. Peter, who denied Christ three times before, the Bible says in Acts, now took his stand with the other 11 disciples, raised his voice and declared the gospel fearlessly on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2. Why? Because now He had an eternal hope, and he had a purpose to live for. And he then proclaimed to the crowd in Acts chapter 2, "This man Jesus was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing to the cross. But God raised him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him." And just a few chapters later, all the apostles would be beaten for preaching the gospel. James would lose his life for preaching the gospel. Peter would be thrown in jail under the death sentence for preaching the gospel. And you remember what happened to Saul. No one was more intent on destroying the Christian faith than Saul was. And then he met the resurrected Christ. Now, this is interesting because Saul is the only apostle that met Jesus after the resurrection. All the rest of them met Jesus before the resurrection, right? But he met the resurrected Christ, the Bible says, on the road to Damascus, and he was transformed forever. His name was changed to Paul, and he was so convinced of the truth of Jesus Christ that he spent the rest of his life in and out of prison proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. But it's not until, and I'm going to say something to you. I'm going to take a drink first. Excuse me. This is one of the most important points you can ever come to in your life. It's not until you no longer fear death that you really start to live. Amen? It's not until you no longer fear death that you can really begin to live. And it's not until you have a hope and a purpose beyond the here and now. Most people live for the here and now. Even a lot of Christians, they live for the here and now. But it's not until you have a hope and a purpose beyond the here and now and beyond the temporary stuff of this world that you will ever truly experience peace and fulfillment in this life. What we all long for. Jesus said, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." The author Jeremiah Johnston writes, "The resurrection not only," listen to this, "it not only shapes your future, but it also energizes your present." The resurrection, once you stand, once you believe in it and stand firm in it, it literally energizes your present usefulness and ministry for the kingdom of God. And as long as you live in this life trying to build your own little kingdom, you're going to miss God's plan for your life. You're going to miss God's purpose for your life. But when you finally give that up and start living your life to build his kingdom and advance his kingdom, you're going to live life to the full. You're going to taste what it is to live the abundant life. The Bible says, "But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in vain in the Lord." The bottom line, the resurrection promises that our work in the Lord has eternal significance because we bring, and listen to this, we bring an everlasting hope to a hopeless world. We bring an everlasting hope to a hopeless world that encourages people both in this life and in the next. And that hope is the message, listen to this, that death is only the beginning. I mess with my wife sometimes, and she's precious. Those of you that know her, she's as precious as the day is long. But I mess with her, but I'm at the same time, I'm serious. And I tell her, I said, "Look, man, if something happens, because I get on my four-wheeler, I'm 62 years old, and I get on the four-wheeler, and I ride all out. I don't know why. I just love to go fast. You know what I'm saying? And so I'm blowing around the house and everything on that thing. And I tell her, look, if you ever come upon me and I'm mortally wounded, do me a favor and let me go. Don't keep me here. And she's going, Chris, don't tell me that. Don't tell me that. But I'm like, I'm really serious. Let me go. Let me go be with Jesus. Why the heck would I want to stay here when I can go be with Jesus and have this amazing, abundant life that only comes in knowing Jesus Christ? And so death is only the beginning. It's only the beginning of eternal life in a perfect place called heaven. It's not the end when you're a Christ follower. And suffering, my friend, is only temporary when you're following Jesus Christ. And you were created for a purpose. Listen to this. Don't miss this. You were created for a purpose by your Heavenly Father. Listen to this. Who knew you, the Bible says, and loved you before he ever formed you in your mother's womb. Psalm 139. Before you were ever conceived in your mother's womb, the Lord knew you. He loved you, and he had a plan for your life, the Bible says in Psalm 139. And so 2 Corinthians 5:17 there says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature, spiritually speaking. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. And the Bible says that God was in Christ. He was in Christ. In fact, the Bible says in Matthew 1:23, they shall call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses and their sins against them. And the Apostle Paul, who suffered unbelievably, if you read about what that dude went through, it's unreal. The Apostle Paul, who suffered unbelievably, declared this in Romans 8:18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not even worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us in eternity. Bottom line, when Jesus rose from the dead, he broke sin's power over anyone who is in Christ Jesus. The resurrection shows that our sins have been completely paid for and that sin and death no longer have power over those who are in Christ Jesus. Point number three. Number one, the resurrection guarantees your salvation from sin and death. Number two, the resurrection gives you eternal hope and a purpose to live for. And number three, the resurrection frees you from the power of sin to control your life. The resurrection frees you from the power of sin to control your life. And this is the other side of the coin. The resurrection gives us victory over sin's power to hold us in the grave, but it also frees us. This is the flip side of the coin. It also frees us from sin's control over our everyday lives. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 6. For if we have become united with Christ in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. You see, once you learn to identify with your new life in Jesus Christ, and this is why discipleship is so important. It's why learning to read the Bible is so important. It's why being involved in a church family is so important. Once you learn to identify with your new life in Christ rather than your old life of sin, you will begin to have victory in your life in places you never thought possible. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who remains in me abides in me. The word abide actually means to stay intimately connected to me. He who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit, but apart from me you can do nothing. How do you remain in Christ? How do you abide in Christ? You do it through remaining in His Word, in prayer, and in His church family. Many people think the church was man's idea. The church is Christ's chosen agenda for the world. It's Christ's chosen strategy for spreading the gospel to the world so that man can be saved. So if you struggle reading God's Word, see me after. I can help you. I can help you to take off reading God's Word in the right direction. In closing, let me just say this. Once you connect yourself back to God through faith in Christ, and then you start abiding in Christ to the point it becomes a daily reality in your life, you will begin then to experience the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And listen, you will begin to have victory over sins that have held you down for a long, long time. But without Jesus Christ on a daily basis, the Bible says you can do nothing. Now, you may be here this morning and you may be thinking, wow, you know what? That's what I need in my life. I want that kind of victory over sin. I've been looking for that kind of victory over sin in my life for a long, long time. And I want to have that kind of assurance of eternal life when I die. And I need that kind of eternal hope and purpose in my life. And I need the power to overcome the sins that have held me captive for so long. Look at one last verse with me. Mark chapter 1 in your notes. Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of God and saying the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. What exactly is Jesus telling them? What exactly is the gospel? The gospel is simply put the story of Jesus. It's the truth about who Jesus Christ is, that He is God with us who came to die for our sins. It's the truth about who Jesus Christ is, and it's the truth about what He did. He died, and He paid the price for your sins so that you could be set free from sin, and you could be set free from death once and for all, and have abundant life and have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, notice, the Bible says you will be saved. Notice, when you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, those two always go together. If you don't confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you do not believe in your heart that He is Lord. When you believe something in your heart, it's 100 times different than saying you believe something in your head. It's a huge difference between just acknowledging something in your head. When you believe something in your heart, we call that a conviction. And when you have a conviction in here, in your heart, you always follow it. You always talk about it, and you don't care what anybody else thinks because it's a conviction in your heart. That's how you know you really believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you believe it in your heart and you confess it with your mouth. And if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. Will you join me in prayer this morning? And maybe you're here today and you're ready to repent. The word repent means to turn away from sin and turn back to God. You're ready to repent and believe the gospel. You can make Easter 2025 the changing point for your entire life by saying a simple prayer somewhat like this. And it's super important that you understand these are not magic words. The only thing that matters is that you mean it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are God, and I believe that you love me so much that you'd rather die for me than live without me. Thank you for coming to earth to die for my sins and give me eternal life. And today I repent. Today I want to turn from my sins and I want to put my faith in you and you alone for salvation. And please help me to learn to stay connected to you on a daily basis so I can grow in my relationship with you and start having victory over the sins in my life. And as I begin growing in you, I pray you would show me the plan that you have for my life. Thank you for saving me today and giving me eternal life. I pray all these things in the power of your holy name. Amen. Friend, if you said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, the Bible says now you're a child of God. The Bible says all of your sins have been washed and wiped away, and the Bible says that you now have eternal life. Matt's going to lead us in our closing song, and I'm going to be here at the front. And if you've made that decision, you'd like to share that with me, I'd love to talk to you. Or if you'd like for me to pray with you, just come and join me up here at the front while we all stand and sing.
All right, if you've been to GBF a few times, you've heard this song. It gets loud at the end, so be loud at the end.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, lost without hope with no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested, my life began. Ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested, my life began. Pour your grace so free, washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested, my life began. Pour your grace so washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But then Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. That's when death was arrested, my life began. Your grace so free washes over me.
Amen. What an amazing song. Amen. Hey, I just want to, before I make announcements, I just want to tell you again, I love you guys. Thanks so much for coming and just worshiping the Lord with us today. It's such a blessing to have you today. We've got several things coming up. Be sure and look at this events calendar on here. And there's some deal on here called the Daughter's Luncheon. All I can tell you is read about it. I have no idea what that is. It's got something to do with Bev White, Judy Hawkins, and Kim Vincent. So read about that, call them. Anyway, we got a lot of stuff. And if you're interested in your child going to preteen camp or youth camp, be sure and read that stuff in here as well. And put VBS on your calendar and put the marriage conference on your calendar in August. All right? All right, I love each one of you. Thank you so much for coming. I feel privileged that you were here with me worshiping the Lord today. And it was such a blessing. And those of you who are our guests, those of you that I met, it was a privilege to meet you. And thank you for worshiping the Lord with us today. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a precious, precious time this is to get together as family. And that's what your church is. It's Christ's body, Christ's family, the Bible says. And what a great and awesome privilege to be able to gather together as the body of Christ and just worship our Lord and Savior. And we thank you and praise you for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's in his precious name that we pray. Amen.